Saturday evening, time to kill. Only a rattle of coins, so I headed for the back room of Jimmy Malone's pub. I'd get in a practice session before the others turned in. I was just lining up to pot the black in the top left-hand pocket when my elbow was jolted from behind, causing me to fresh air the shot. I wasn't in the best of form, having just come from St. Luke's, so I turned, cue raised. What the... Easy, kid. The pool table lights bounced off the shaven skull. It was Nobber Nugent, one of Eddie's so-called hard men. Nobber was chewing hard on his trademark wad of gum. His hand shot up and grabbed the cue. He wants to see you up at 22. Nobber replaced the cue on the rack. Pronto. A summons from Eddie was not to be taken lightly. Eddie Duffy had evolved from a small-time petty criminal, specialising in post office raids in the 70s, into one of the main players on the scene in the city. He fought his way to the top using threats, violence, bribes and outright extortion. Drugs, cigarettes, brothels, all were profitable grist for Eddie's mill and his expanding empire. Jimmy Malone kept his head stuck in the Herald as we exited through the bar. Long experience taught him to mind his own business where certain people were involved. Nobber zapped the Pajero when I slid into the passenger seat. What's this all about? Dunno. Nobber shifted the wad of chewing gum to the other cheek as he reversed out of the car park. Of course he knew. It was just that Eddie wanted to have the satisfaction of dealing with the matter himself. Maybe he wants you to do another drop down the country like last month. Or maybe he just wants to ask about your mam. The mention of mam stabbed me like a knife in the guts. Eddie wasn't going to let me forget the hold he had over me. Probably primed Nobber to bring up the topic to set me on edge in advance. Silence marked the remainder of the journey. From the outside, there was little to distinguish Unit 22, Ballygarve East Business Park, from a half dozen other unremarkable girder-framed metal-cladded warehouses. The sign over the double doors, Luke Wright Services, was suitably vague and ambiguous and designed not to attract passing interest. Ballygarve East was one of those ambitious projects which started out too late in the tiger cycle. Sprouting weeds, empty units and rusty decommissioned heavy plant added a general air of neglect and despair to the surroundings. Inside Unit 22, however, a surprise awaited the visitor. Eddie wanted to enjoy the fruits of his activities, but was wary of an ostentatious display that would attract the attention of Cab or one of his many rivals. So inside Unit 22, Eddie had built a full-scale replica of one of the luxury apartments in the sprouting buildings, littering the quays and defacing the skyline. Nobber checked his mirrors, hit the remote and the double doors peeled back. Once inside, the Pajero was parked. The external doors closed and we stood outside the steel gate that controlled the entrance to the pseudo-apartment. Nobber lifted his head, nodded in the direction of the CCTV camera and the gate clicked open. Inside the outer wall, a keypad code granted further access. Although I'd been there before, I still wondered at Eddie's ingenuity. The enlarged panoramic photo of Spencer's dock, with its clever lighting set up outside the false windows, fooled the eye into imagining that the apartment was perched on the fifth floor with a view over the water. The decor was the last word in bad taste. So-called modern paintings with their multicoloured daubs and splashes jostled for attention. Nude posters, garish Indian rugs and a clutter of knick-knacks of dubious origin. Eddie sat behind the long table in the dining area. It was rumoured that he had been a handy middleweight boxer and fitness fanatic in his younger days, but years of overindulgence and debauchery had taken their toll. The large round head was anchored on the flabby body by rolls of fat. A vain attempt had been made to thatch over the bald spot with the few remaining wisps of hair. His complexion was a shade of newly kneaded putty. It was obvious from his eyes that he had been on the bottle or snorting. Or perhaps both. Come in, kid. Come on in. Make yourself at home. Eddie gestured to the chair set on the opposite side of the table. I edged myself onto the seat. How's the ma? Not so good, Eddie. My voice sounded strained and hoarse. I coughed to clear my throat. She's not responding to the latest treatment. The consultant says it's only a matter of weeks. Sorry to hear that, kid. A great woman, your ma. Heart of the role. One of the great neighbours from the old days, eh? Give her my love next time you're up there. He let the silence hang in the air. I squirmed and looked at my fingernails. Eddie was the master of cranking up the tension and the fear levels. He was also a consummate liar. Mam had kept me at school and out of Eddie's clutches for years, and the bad blood generated persisted between them right up to her diagnosis. Eventually he spoke. Now, let's get down to business. He leaned forward and beckoned me closer as if he was sharing a secret. Those customs bastards seized the latest consignment from Amsterdam down in the docks yesterday. Worth nearly half a mil. That's the second time in less than 3 weeks. We have a leak, eh? Obvious. And Nobber here has clocked the man responsible. You won't need to phone a friend to know that it's that low-life scum, Tommy Moran. That shithead runs with the hare and hunts with the hounds, get me? But this time he's gone too far. It don't ever pay to mess with Eddie. I nodded. Moran was well known as a piece of human flotsam floating on the fringes of the criminal fraternity. Well, it has to stop. Eddie made a cutting gesture across his throat with the side of his hand. Costing me a rake of cash and setting a bad example to others. It was becoming clear what Eddie had in mind, and that he had reserved a starring role for me. I waited for the revelation. Eddie indulged himself in another pregnant pause. It'll have to be a headshot. The headshot is the business. Eddie formed his hand into the shape of a pistol, pointed his forefinger at the centre of my forehead, and let his cocked thumb fall. Kapow! His arm shot upwards as if forced by the recoil. Nobber shook his head and sucked in a deep breath. A headshot? Oh, that's a tough call, Ed. Headshots are never easy. No room for error. Gotta be. Eddie was in no mood to be questioned. That bastard wears a Kevlar vest. Waste of bullets hitting him in the chest area. No, it's gotta be a headshot. One shot, one kill. Eddie turned his attention back to me. His watery blue eyes were hypnotic. Are you up for it, kid? He knew the answer. I hadn't a choice in the matter. I owed Eddie big time. He had come up front with the wad of cash that had helped Mam jump the queue in St. Luke's and get in line for the new expensive treatment. Just a loan, he had said, knowing full well that without the prospect of a job I wouldn't be able to meet the installments. The delivery trips down the country were supposed to represent small donations towards my liability, but with interest mounting faster than I could keep pace, it was always going to be an unwinnable battle. This was the big payoff. Eddie was intent on killing two birds with one shot. Cross Tommy Moran off his list and have me in his pocket for the rest of my days. That loan had yielded a good return from his point of view. Yeah, I nodded, looking down at my feet. Fair play to you, kid. I knew you had it in you. Tool him up. Eddie gestured to Nobber. Nobber pulled a pair of surgical gloves from his pocket, snapped them on and disappeared into the kitchen area. He returned and planted an oily rag parcel on the table. Go on, kid. Open it up. Let's see if you have the makings of a man. Eddie sat back and winked at Nobber. I pulled back the corners of the oily rag and there it was. A 9mm Browning automatic with a full magazine resting beside it. The metal of the barrel was lightly oiled and had a bluish tinge to it. Let's see if you know how to use it. We don't want any mistakes when it comes to Tommy. Eddie was enjoying my discomfort. I hefted the pistol. It felt snug in my hand. I rammed the magazine into the butt, cocked the action and raised the muzzle until it pointed at the centre of Eddie's forehead. You stupid bastard, put it down. Realisation was dawning in Eddie's watery eyes. The rolls of fat on his neck quivered. Put it down, he screamed. Kapow! My arm jerked upwards with the force of the recoil. The sound of the report, constrained by the enclosed space, twanged in my eardrums and the acrid smell of the burnt powder and fresh blood polluted my nose. But in spite of the attack on my senses, I knew that this was the moment that marked promotion from obscurity to the Premier League. Nobber looked at me in disbelief. His mouth fell open and the wad of gum pitched to the floor. I turned the Browning towards him and saw, not the hard shaw of a few minutes previously, but a man reduced to jelly. A pool of piss formed on the floor between his feet. Jesus, kid, don't do it. He raised his hands in front of his face. Please, for God's sake. I was no friend of Eddie. He had me over a barrel just like you. What else could I do? Please don't. I've got Sally and the kids to think of. The feeling of power was intoxicating. I was king of the heap. Eddie was gone. I was the new man on the block. I kept the muzzle pointing at Nobber's forehead. Don't worry, Nobber. I smiled with my lips, but not with my eyes. I felt a compelling urge to squeeze the trigger again, but I fought it. I had been dealt a good hand. Unbeatable. A royal flush. Now was the time to figure how to play it. Okay, Nobber. Get this mess cleaned up. Dispose of the evidence, you know the drill. I leaned over the table to have a last deco at Eddie. He lay on his back, sightless blue eyes turned towards the ceiling. Eddie had blagged and lied his way through life. It was ironic that his last pronouncement had hit the nail on the head. The headshot is the business.
That was Headshot by John Martin, read by Keith Hanna, a shortlisted story from the 2014 RTE Francis McManus Short Story Competition. The series of this year's 25 shortlisted stories continues tomorrow with White by Alana Hopkin, read by Angela Harding. The shortlisted stories can be heard on the programme website, rte.ie/radio1/Francis McManus Short Story. The series producer of the Francis McManus Short Story Competition is Cleanani Anluan.